All right, let's pray. Man, God has been speaking to me through this message all week long. And I believe the word for us today, as Jesus would say sometimes, those who have ears, let them hear. Today I would say to you, if you were wondering, I wonder if there'll be anything for me today. I wonder if God is gonna speak today. I would repeat the words of Jesus to you. Those who have ears, just hear. I believe God is gonna speak today. We're just gonna take just a moment and just begin to concentrate, prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God today. I'm gonna declare some truth over you today. They are not for the elite of society. They are not for the elite of the faith. This is common, everyday, walking around faith that I'm talking about, okay? Let's just get ourselves in that position. Oh, Jesus, thank you for what you've done. Father, thank you for your great love. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing truth to us today, that your word would literally come alive inside of us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. So we are on this series. It's called Marvel Faith. And today I want to talk to you from a very familiar portion of Scripture. It is when Peter walks on the water. And so today, if you're going to be a full-fledged superhero in the faith, then you got to learn how to walk on the storms of life. And so that's what the message is today. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you often how I prepare for messages, particularly messages that are in the Old Testament, messages that are in the gospel. I try to imagine those things happening. And so I'll read them until I've got the scripture in my head to where I know the story. And so this week I've been reading this thing over and over many, many times. I'll encourage you, even after you're gone today, to read this thing over and over and get it into you. And then I'll begin to picture myself as someone in the story. Today I think you should find yourself as Peter. I think you ought to put yourself there as Peter today and just imagine what it's like to walk through this situation like Peter. And through that, I believe God is going to speak to us today. Now, in doing that, I need to commission you as well. Last week, we started this series, and if you don't know, we record them. We put them on the website. That way, if you're doing nursery or something like that, you can always stay up with what's going on. So you just go to the website. But this past week, we had a problem with the audio, and it had these huge gaps in between it. And so when I listened to it, it was really difficult to figure out the message. And so I just told him, I said, let's just scrap this one. And I'm just sitting there after I had decided that we would scrap it. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, tell them to preach it. Tell them to preach it. I'm telling you to preach it. Okay? Today, this message is going to apply to your life. But the beauty of the body of Christ is when we can all get this mindset that we're coming and we're being a part of this thing. And yes, I'm going to pour into your life today what I believe is the truth of God's word. But I want to commission you to go out and preach that thing this week. Now, how do I do that? You're going to find people that are in a similar situation. And it's just going to connect something that you've heard today or something that you read through the Word is going to connect with something in their life. And then I want you to put that truth out there. And you say, well, I'm still learning myself. Yeah, me too. I'm still learning too. And so I always present things. I'm presenting them today as someone who is not perfect, but being perfected. And so you don't have to go with somebody that's perfect. Just go with somebody that's honest, right? And say, this is where I currently am in this situation. And this is what I heard this Sunday. This is the word that was spoken over us. It sounds like it might help you too. Y'all are staring at me. I'm going to mention that again at the end, okay? All right. Here's what I want to do. I want to read the text, and then we're going to go back and we're going to put ourselves in this story. And so Jesus has just through the disciples, he has fed 5,000 people. He has this incredible way of saying, you do it. These people were hungry, and Jesus said, you feed them. There's sick people, and he says, you heal them. He's always looking to partner with us. And so there's 5,000 people that have been fed through a can of tuna and a box of crackers. You're like, what? That's my modern-day translation of five loaves and two fish, okay? They look around. They got to try to feed 5,000 people. Jesus says, you feed them. They look around, and there's a can of tuna and a box of crackers. And it happens. And can you imagine if we were in the place where 5,000 people were fed with such a small amount of food and you were a part of the feeding, you would be on a spiritual high, would you not? And so these folks are riding high. In fact, you need to somehow, if you're not riding high, you need to pretend for just a minute, okay, that you are. And so 5,000 people have been fed. This is awesome. And Jesus tells his disciples, well, I need to read it. I told you I was going to do that, didn't I? Here we go. Beginning Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That means the wind is pressing in the opposite direction that they are trying to go. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. He took hold of him, and he said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. So here's the challenge today is to put ourselves in the midst of the story. And so they have fed 5,000. They are on this spiritual high. And there are times, I don't know if you've experienced it, but if you've ever had the opportunity to give out spiritually, then sometimes you need to just get away and kind of refresh. Even if you've not done it on a spiritual level, you know what that's like on a physical level. You just have poured out. You've poured out. You need to get away. And Jesus tells them, you need to get away. And in verse 22, he says, "Go ahead to the other side." Now that's important. And so many times we miss these little details. And it's because Jesus is trying to teach us, to fine-tune us, to listen to his voice. And so he says, "Go ahead to the other side." What is their assignment? Yeah, go to the other side. Do you realize that when the Lord gives you an instruction or a command to do something, that within that is the promise and the ability to get it done? You can't miss that, okay? So anytime you find something in Scripture that is for us, that says to do this, then there is power to do it. And so in the command to go to the other side, that is a promise being made of Jesus that everything you need in order to get to the other side, I'm going to make it possible for you. I'm going to present it to you. And then in verse 23, after he sent the crowd away, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. So at this time, it's probably, I imagine it is getting dark. The disciples are on their way. I don't know if it's 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, but Jesus goes up onto this mountain. He begins to get along with the Father and begins to pray, but he's looking out. The terrain would have been, he could look out over this mountain and he could see the sea that he sent them out on. And what does it say? But the boat was already a long distance from the land. It's battered by the waves and the wind was contrary. It should not alarm us when God gives us something to do and we run into a storm. It's amazing how sometimes we don't think that's the case. We think that if God's given us something to do, it ought to be clear sailing from there to the finish line, right? That's our expectation, is that if God gives us something to do, then clearly this thing ought to be easy to get done. Right here, it tells us, don't be alarmed by the fact that there are times when God gives you something to do that you will encounter a storm about halfway there. It never fails. When you first hear that God's given you something to do, there's an excitement about it. Anybody ever been there? You're excited. You have heard the word of the Lord. You got a little something in your step, you know, and you start out on that thing. But then somewhere about halfway, it says that they were battered by the winds and the waves were contrary. There comes that opposition. I imagine that they've gone far enough that when they look back, they go, I don't know if we can get back or if we should just press ahead. Anybody ever been there? You been in a situation and you want to quit so bad? Some of you might be in that situation right now. You are in something and you want to stop so badly. You want to give up and quit so bad. When you look ahead and you look at the winds and those things, the winds are blowing in your face and the waves, you're taking on water in the boat, and you look back and you're like, oh, what to do? It looks like I'm as far one way as I am for the other, you know? And it feels like you're just stuck in the middle. And when you are stuck in the middle, look what happens. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning, he came to them walking on the sea. Sometimes God has this thing where he just will not show up to a party early. I don't know why. It's like if you throw a party, he refuses to show up early. You know what I'm talking about, right? It feels like I'm halfway, I'm stuck, I am in a ship that is taking on water, and I have been fighting this thing since the night before, and it is sometime about 3 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and frankly, I'm about ready to give up. And Jesus says, oh, now is the perfect opportunity for me to come. You see, because if I had come earlier, you would have been doing it yourself, and you wouldn't have listened anyway. Right? If he'd have come any earlier, we'd have still been fighting. But about 6 o'clock in the morning, our arms are tired. We have rowed all we can row. We have taken our little bucket or whatever it is, and we have taken as much water out of the ship as possible. But every time a stinking wind comes and a wave, the boat takes on more water. And so I'm tired. And so when he comes at that moment, oh, I can hear him now, because see, I'm just exhausted, and all of me's gone, and I'm ready to listen. Unfortunately, sometimes that is our position, and it's our immaturity, really. So let's just call it what it is. It's our immaturity in the faith that says, I'll do it as best I can until the ship is taking on too much water and my arms are tired, and now I'm ready to listen. But he comes to him, I imagine, right about daybreak. You remember that verse in Scripture, weeping is for the night, but joy comes what? In the morning. Yeah. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, I'm in verse 26, they were terrified and they said to him, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear, it is Jesus. But they've never seen him that way before. You'll go through situations in your life, you'll encounter things, and when Jesus comes, you've not seen him that way before. They've not seen him walk on water. Don't act like you're better than them. If I had seen someone walking on the water, I might think it's a ghost too, and I don't believe in ghosts. All right? They're not used to seeing a man walking like that on water in the seas. A lot of times Jesus is coming to us, but we don't see him because he's coming in a way that we've not seen him before. He's coming through a person that we don't like. He's coming through a person that maybe we don't think can speak anything into our life. I would say when you're in the midst of a ship that's taking on water, don't be picky. Right? Don't be picky. However he comes, let him come. Just be looking for him when you get in a fix. And so they see him walking on the water, and they're afraid, and they cry out, and they think it's a ghost. And Jesus says to them, don't worry, it's Jesus. He doesn't say that, does he? Look at that. He says, take courage, it is I. Who is I? You know, there's a ghost out there, and he says, it is I. Who's I? You know, I'm dying in a ship that's taking on water with storms and sea, and now I'm seeing a ghost that says, it is I. Could you please identify yourself? You know? I started thinking, though, here's the cool thing about that. You ever tried to play jokes, adults, kids, y'all probably done it too. You ever tried to play a joke on somebody and call somebody that you knew and try to be somebody that you're not? This is bad, but as Caden was younger, I used to like to call and tell him I was the police. We have some police officers in the room. Is that illegal if you do it with your son? And so I would call, and Caden would pick up the phone, and I would try to throw my voice, and Caden would almost always go, "Daddy, quit." I'm like, "How'd you know it's me?" He's like, "I know your voice." Ah. You ever thought about when you call somebody back before the phone told you who it was, and you could decide if you wanted to pick up or not, right? You just had to guess. You know, and so you picked it up. It was always like just one big surprise. You know, wonder who this is. And you pick it up. And the people that you know and love, they don't ever say, "Hi, it's Mama." They say, "Hey, it's me." Why? Because when you spend enough time with people, you know their voice. And you don't need much, just a word or two. In fact, you can even try to throw your voice off in the people that you know and love. They'll go, that's Mama. That's Dad. That's whoever. And so he says, "It's I." And Peter realizes, he's like, "Lord." He gets it. He said, "I recognize that voice. I've heard it before." And so he says, "Lord, but if it's you," just to be sure, you know, "I think it's you, okay? But if it's you, bid me come." I got a real problem with that one, y'all. Because I'm Peter. We're Peter, right? I'm Peter, I'm in a boat, and this thing is taking on water. And by the way, the wind and stuff didn't cease just because Jesus came out, okay? It didn't just cease. And so all that stuff is going on. And Peter, looking at Jesus, who I believe, and I'll show you in a minute, I believe is a far distance away, he looks at him and says, "Lord, I think that's you. If it's you, though, bid me come." I got a problem with that. Because if I'm in this boat that's sinking, do you see where I'm going with that? I wouldn't be, "Lord, tell me to come to you." I'd be like, "Lord, come on, get in the boat." Y'all didn't see that, did you? Y'all are not as big a coward as I am, apparently. But if I had the choice, say, "Lord, bid me come, walk on the winds and waves that are about to destroy this current situation that I'm in. Let me just come to you." Most of us would say, "Oh, Jesus, it's you. Come on, get in the boat. Come on, get in the boat." But I'm glad it worked out this way. Because here's the problem that happens in our lives sometimes. We run from one crisis to the next crisis, begging God to get in our boat. We run from one situation to the next situation, begging and praying and pleading, "God, if you just get me out of this one. You know, if you just get me out of this one." And Jesus comes and he gets into the boat. And then the next time there's another crisis and we holler, "Jesus, come, get in the boat." And it's one crisis after another of asking Jesus to intervene into our crisis. But you see, Peter, I think he's tapped into something. Peter's over here, looks at Jesus and he says, "I am in a situation to where this thing is sinking. My current situation is desperate. And if that's you, I'm safer with you than I am in a sinking boat." You get that? And at some place in our life, we've got to get to a relationship that matures enough that our relationship is built more on us coming to Jesus than it is Jesus intervening into our crisis. Oh, that felt good just saying it. I think we can get something out of that, you know? So many times we never mature in our relationship because we actually think it's Jesus' responsibility to come and get into the boat. More often than not, I would say real maturity comes when we learn to go to the Father. By the way, the one who is walking on the water, who is the hero of the day, where was he before this whole situation took place? He's praying. That ought to tell us something. That we have to have a prayer life that is grounded in something other than crisis. We got to get to a place where we move from desperate situation to, you know what, there are all kind of things going on today, but somehow I've got to find a mountain and I have got to get alone and I've got to spend some time with God. That's when we begin to mature in our faith. And it's the ones who learn how to walk to God are usually the ones who are best able to intervene when crises occur. Next. What does Jesus say? Come. I imagine Jesus is like, well, Peter, you initiated this thing. That was another thing. I thought Jesus initiated the coming, but he didn't. Peter did. Do you see it? Peter said, if it's you, you tell me to come. And so Peter initiated the thing. And Jesus doesn't say, yeah, Peter, it's me. I'm Jesus. Come on. He just says, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat and he walked on water and he came to Jesus. Now, let's not miss this point. This is my boat. This is Jesus. I believe he is a far distance away. And it says that he gets out of the boat. Now, here's the thing. Some of you may be in a situation. You may be in a crisis. Your current situation is taking on water. And you've decided that it is better to go to Jesus than it is to stay in this situation. It is better to pursue him than stay. Something has to happen. You actually have to step out of the boat. All right? Man, it's hard to step out of the boat. Watch what has to happen. I'm just going to step down. But I got to get one foot out. Did I mention this is water? I did mention this, right? It is not concrete like it is here today. I got to get out on water. People don't walk on water unless God's in that thing, okay? I got one foot down. But to walk to him, I got to get all of myself down. How many times do we like to play it both ways? You know, we want one foot in the water and we want one foot in the boat. Why? Because deep down inside, we're orchestrating this thing. Yeah, we're trying to orchestrate our own salvation, our own deliverance, and it doesn't work that way. And so the second foot has got to come out. Now, what is Peter standing on? A lot of people would say he's standing on the water, but I would say this, people don't stand on water. He's literally standing on the Word and the nature of God. Think about that for just a minute. He's standing on this fact that he said, Lord. Peter is also the one when Jesus said, who do they say that I am? He said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, I can work with that. When he says, Lord, he identifies who Jesus is. Anytime you see Jesus as Lord, God can work with that. When you see him the way that he truly is. So he sees the nature of God. And he's standing on the fact that, Lord, I just witnessed you feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children. I'm standing on the fact that I believe it's better with you than it is right here today. And I'm standing on the fact that I said, if it was you, tell me to come, and you said come. And so I am standing on your nature, and I am standing on your word, and I am walking on water. I am walking on my financial situation. I'm walking on my sickness. I'm walking on my job. You see how this thing's going? This thing's working. Why? Because of the nature of God is in his heart. His eyes are fixed on Christ, and he is standing on a word that said, come. That's where faith comes from. The nature of God and a word from God. But then all of a sudden, I imagine you get to a point when you're like, I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. Oh, I'm walking on water. I'm scared right now and I'm on concrete. You know, it's like you out in this thing. You have taken a leap of faith. Some of you have done that. You've taken a step of faith. You got out of the boat. You know what it's like. And then you get out there and you realize people don't walk on water. And then you think it's up to you. He got out of the boat because of the character and a word from God. But now he's about halfway and he sees winds and he sees waves. And he's still walking on water. And he goes, people don't walk on water. People don't walk on water. How in the world am I going to stay up? I've been in situations where I've stepped out in faith. And then I have assumed the burden of responsibility. And tried to do that thing on my own. When we first started Ember, I stepped out and we planted this thing because I had a word from the Lord. And I knew his nature. And I was standing on that. That he had told me to do it. And I didn't know if anybody would go with me or not. I just had to do it because I knew he was good and I knew what he was saying, and so I had to do it. But then as we got going, every Thursday, for whatever reason, I would realize that I was walking on water. I'm like, people don't plant churches in Chester, South Carolina. That's not a very good idea, Kevin. And then it comes to me, Kevin, are you sure God said do that? And then I would think about all the things that have to be done in order to plant a church. And you know what I would do? I would assume the responsibility. And by Thursday, I would be gripped by, oh Lord, what have I done? And then by about Thursday afternoon, I'd have to get with God and God would say, can I have my church back? You think I'm kidding? I might as well just be honest so we can just be real with each other, right? On Thursday afternoon, for about 3 or 4 weeks, I'd have to give Jesus his church back because I thought that I was supposed to do it. If you ever step out on faith because of a word and the nature of God, you will also continue to walk by the word and the nature of God. And at any point when you try to do it yourself, that's when the waves, and that's when the wind, and that's when the stuff gets incredibly frightening. And that's what happened to Peter. And so he begins to sink. It's funny that Peter is the word for rock, and the word here in the scripture for sink literally means as though you would throw a large rock into the water and watch it sink. And so as Peter begins to question and try to take everything on his own, do you see what happens? Do you see what happens? He starts to what? Sink. Until he is at a situation where he realizes, oh my gosh, the winds are violent and the waves are violent. And I am out here in the middle and I don't know what I am doing. When you get out in a situation and it is over your head and you feel like you are sinking, I recommend that you do what Peter did in verse 30. But seeing the winds, he began to be frightened, he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Are you crazy? He hollered out, Lord, save me! Some of y'all been in them situations, right? Right? It's not one of those, oh, thou art holy God, please saveth thou my soul. Man, when you're sinking, you know, the whole King James English goes away, all your dignity goes away, the only thing you have left is a desperate cry of, Lord, save me. And the amazing thing is, the scripture says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you've never even had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you feel like you were sinking, I will tell you this, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have been one of those people that you didn't even have enough faith to get in the boat, but your boat's been sinking, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You say, well, Kevin, but that only means that you'd be saved from hell and sent into heaven. Do you realize that's our version of salvation? That is not the biblical definition of salvation. Do you realize that? Our version of salvation is so limited. We think all it means, and I've said it before, is that you got a ticket out of hell and into heaven. That's not what it means in the Bible. In the Bible, it means a holistic salvation. It means that yes, you are pulled out of darkness into marvelous light, but also those things that have been bondages to you, those things have to be broken through salvation. That if there is sickness, we're supposed to walk in health. It covers this all-encompassing, been set free, been saved. Of what? Everything. Everything. That is the message that you find of salvation in the Bible. And that's why I can look at you and say, it doesn't matter what you're sinking in. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Some of you might want to continue to doubt that. I understand. I walk it myself. It sounds good, right? But I see the wind and I hear the waves. And all I can do is tell you what I have to tell myself sometimes. Kevin, ignore the facts. You didn't catch that, did you? Those weren't make-believe waves. Those were real waves. That wasn't make-believe wind. That was real wind. That wasn't a make-believe boat that was filling up with water. It was a real boat filling up with water. There are times that you look and the circumstances are truly desperate. But all I can tell you is you got to make a choice. Because if you look at what Jesus says when he reaches down and he grabs Peter and he pulls him up as he looks at him, he says, you of little faith, why did you what? Doubt. We're going to talk about the enemies of faith in a few weeks, and doubt is a big one. And so there are times where, yes, I know what you've been told, and it's true, but for the fact God intervenes. You get that? Yes, it's true, but for the fact that God can intervene. My marriage is in shambles. True, but for the fact that Jesus can reconcile situations. My child is desperate and far from God. Yes, but with God, that can be reconciled. My business is in the tank. Yes, but with God, it can be saved. And when everybody stands back and looks at it, you know what they will do? They will marvel. Because faith says, I understand that there are winds and waves, but my eyes are on the Savior. And so he stands him up. He picks him up. He puts him in. He walks into the boat with Peter, sets him down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly the Son of God. I don't want to be them. I don't want to be them. I don't want to be those disciples who had to wait for something like that to happen and then go, you know what? I think that really was Jesus. I want to be the guy. And I believe God wants you to be the kind of person that doesn't wait until it's all over to say, yep, you know what? I think God was in that. I believe he wants us to be those people that will step out of boats, that will step out in faith and believe in the nature of God. And not just be a cheerleader at the end. What does he say? And then when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, just as Jesus had said. So I'm right back there. Are there winds and waves and storms that come up when we are doing the will of God? Yes, they are. But we must trust that if God commanded us to do something, that he will see it through. He who began a good work in you will finish it. So what are you standing on? Some of us are sinking because we don't have a clue. We don't have a word. We don't have anything. We just been operating off of common sense, willpower, and whatever else we could muster. We have got to learn to stand on the Word of God. And we have got to get close enough to Him that we understand His nature. So that one, we're ready and we don't live from one crisis moment to another, but we live from faith to faith. I love these places in Scripture. It says, from grace to grace, strength to strength. That's the way we're supposed to live.